And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening on American Family Radio. It is great to be with you again today. I tell you what, this is the second program since the Great Restoration. Some people are calling it a revolution. I've decided to call it the Great Restoration, an opportunity to restore American principles, ideals, values, the things that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have not been made the greatest nation on earth by confusing people on the issue of gender and by promoting homosexuality and by killing unborn babies and calling it something wonderful that we're doing. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him. And you can't just make up anything you want to do and somehow make it right because you like it or because you think it's right or because it feels good to you. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was designed for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. America doesn't work without God, and America doesn't work without virtue. The virtue that comes not from our own inner sense that, well, you know, this, what I'm doing feels right to me, but comes from eternal truth. And the eternal truth comes from God's word." I've often said, our founding fathers didn't say, we hold these whims, we hold these opinions, we hold these passing fancies of mankind, or we hold these fads. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, they don't even require any proof because anybody who's honest knows that they are true and will admit it, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these, it's not the complete list, but that among these, fundamental to these, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, the ability to pursue your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to the highest place they will take you. That those are self-evident truths, not passing fancies. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." Our freedom has been born of the fact that we acknowledge human beings have a right, an inherent God-given right to be free. I'd say I don't have to go very far to get just excited about America and to recall why I love this country so much. Because we really are unique. We really are exceptional. And I've never argued that we as Americans are somehow inherently better people, but I have argued that our country is based upon better values than any other nation on earth. And therein lies the key to our success. And so as we ponder what happened on November 5th and the new administration as it takes shape, these are the things that we have to keep in mind. This is what we're fighting for. We're not fighting because we hate anybody, because we don't. And we're not fighting because we want to hurt anybody, because we don't. We're fighting because we love God, we love our country, and we know what has made our country successful. And we know that if you can undermine those foundations, you will destroy America's future. because the success we've had in the past will not repeat itself based on an entirely different set of values. It simply won't happen. So with that in mind, before I get into talking a little bit about the president's appointments and some of his plans for our future, let me share with you an experience that I had just a couple days ago. I was in Chicago, and I was invited to Chicago by Nathan Wallace. Nathan Wallace is the father of Natalia Wallace. Natalia was murdered on July 4th, 2020, in one of these many infamous Chicago shootouts that have now become sort of a worldwide phenomenon. And by the way, I'm sure you, if you don't know this or you're not aware of this, go to our website, America's Forgotten Children, americasforgottenchildren.com, .com or .org will get you there. And you will see a compilation and documentation of nearly 600 children murdered since the Defund the Police movement began. Since they started running around, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, they were lying through their teeth that Black Lives Matter to them, because they didn't, and they don't. Because nearly 600 children murdered in street violence since they defunded the police and defamed the police and slandered the police and demoralized the police and dismantled the police and reimagined the police. 600 innocent children murdered by a bunch of thugs and gangsters who are somehow supposed to have some special status because of the color of their skin. And as far as I'm concerned, they're just thugs and gangsters, and the color of their skin doesn't matter. And the people they kill tend to be other Black people. The police weren't the problem. And I'm not saying no police officer's ever done anything wrong. We know better than that, because there's no profession on earth where somebody hasn't done something wrong, where somebody hasn't gotten out of line, where somebody hasn't abused their authority. It happens in every profession. But the police, overwhelmingly, I dare say 99% of police officers do that job with a view to serving people, trying to help people, trying to protect people from the predators out there that would prey on them and destroy them and rape them and rob them and murder them. And they put their own lives on the line to do it. And these bunch of Marxist leftist idiots, Patrice Cullors and her compatriots and all the idiots who gave $100 million to this disgusting and depraved organization supposed to be a champion for Black people, all of those people deserve every bit of opprobrium I can heap on them, because they did a tremendous disservice to this nation, and here specifically did a tremendous disservice to all the innocent people who've lost their lives as a result of these fools running around talking about the police were the problem. The mainstream media made it seem that way, but you know what? The mainstream media covered George Floyd like he was the second coming. And I'm not saying George Floyd deserved to die the way he died. I'm not saying that. It was wrong. And the person who did it is in prison, and he should be in prison, in my view. But George Floyd was a criminal, a counterfeiter, a fentanyl addict, and who knows what else. He wasn't picked out in the police lottery for who are we going to grab hold of today. They ended up arresting him because he was doing things he had no business doing, and the police were called. So he precipitated this interaction with the police that ended in his tragic and unjust death. I mean, let me make that clear. But then to turn this into, this is what the police do, this is what's happening, this is the problem of Black people, Black people are suffering, it is a major problem. It is not. It is not a major problem. The major problem is the predatory crime that happens in the streets of our cities that is taking the lives of these children. So forgive that long preface, but I think it needed to be said to put this in context. So I went to Chicago to be with Nathan Wallace because closing arguments were to be made against two of the four people involved in his daughter's murder. Drove up into a crowd of people celebrating July 4th, by the way. I mean, just think of the symbolism of that. Here they are celebrating July 4th, celebrating our independence, right there in the heart of the Black community, just having a great old time, nobody doing anything wrong, and these four thugs drive up, jump out of their car, and spray the place with bullets, and didn't hit the intended target, whoever that was supposed to have been, but shot poor Natalia in the head. She died instantly there while she was there with her father, very responsible man, loves his children, out with his children, by the way. And his daughter's life is taken in senseless violence. By the way, let me take a moment as a footnote to add, Illinois is one of the few states, there aren't that many, but there are few. When I travel, of course, I travel with security, one of the few states where my security professional protection agents, okay, licensed, trained, and I'm not talking about people who just say, hey, I'll be a bodyguard. I'm talking about people who go through years of training to learn how to do that job and to learn to be prepared to potentially put their lives on the line for the person that they are committed to protecting. In this case, it just happens to be me, but they can't carry a firearm into Illinois. And yet it is one of the most violent, crime-ridden states with the most crime-ridden city in America, and law-abiding citizens cannot get firearms to protect themselves. So at any rate, we go there to hear the closing arguments against these two thugs and they are thugs. The verdict hasn't been rendered yet. They're innocent until proven guilty. I understand that. But they're still thugs. I believe they will be found guilty of this crime, because I believe they are guilty of this crime. Video captured them firing the weapons. So I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever about it, although technically in our legal system, you are innocent until proven guilty, and either a jury or a judge, if you waive a jury trial, declare you guilty based upon the facts as applied to the law. So we went there to be with him. And his family and friends to support him, because this has been a four-year ordeal for him from the time his daughter was murdered, and they're not finished with the trials, folks. They're not finished with the trials. Here, 4 years later, see, this has all been unleashed by these leftists. 4 years later, he's just wrapping up a trial with only two of the defendants. There are two more yet to be tried, and it's been 4 years since his daughter was murdered. And look, many of these cases, by the way, never get solved. So the people who commit these horrific crimes and kill innocent children either still walk the streets of Chicago or they're in jail for something else. Maybe murder, so they'll be in there for the rest of their lives, but maybe something more minor, and they'll come out to kill again. By the way, while we were waiting for his case to come up, there were several cases we heard. Two of them involved violent carjackings. But here's what I really want to get to, folks. And you're probably wondering, and if you want to find out more about this, you want to see how horrific this is, go to the website, America's Forgotten Children, americasforgottenchildren.com or .org. We'll get you there. And just see the pictures of these innocent kids. And we have stories attached to them, and there's a lot of stuff on the website that will really educate you about this issue. See, that's what I mean, because the mainstream media is not going to tell this story. Oh, one cop does something, and they think this cop does something wrong. Man, it's international news. Oh my goodness, this is the be all and end all. Look at what's happening in the Black community. Look at what the police are doing. They're oppressors. They go through all that. But nearly 600 innocent children murdered, and you can't find a single story that ties all this together and shows what a scourge this is. You know why? Because they don't want to. Because they want to tell the narrative. Police bad, black people victims, and we got to do something about the cops. Man, I tell you what. Folks, I thank God every day for the police officers. And my heart really goes out to them, because I understand, and most Americans, I think, do, but there are some who are so brainwashed and indoctrinated and misguided, they think the police really are the enemy. But what most police officers have to deal with, putting their lives on the line every time they make a traffic stop, every time they go to respond to a domestic violence report, every time they step out on the streets, they don't know whether that day is going to be their last, and it could easily be. State police officer here in Virginia years ago, and we were able to do something to be a blessing. When I say we, I mean Stan was able to do something to be a blessing to his family. He was a state police officer. He was attached to the Richmond police, helping them out. And just on a routine thing, they're basically out in the inner city, basically trying to be a presence, trying to stop crime before it happens. In other words, trying to protect innocent people from becoming victimized because of their presence. And people saying, well, you know, there's some cops over there. And there were some guys parked on the wrong side of the street. And he just walked over thinking, no big deal. Hey, guys, you're parked on the wrong side. You all just either, you know, park on the other side of the street or turn the car around. I mean, he walked over to say that. No big deal. No, didn't think, you know, they didn't have any suspicions about these particular guys or anything like that. Just trying to sort of, you know, maintain order and be a presence. So he walked up to the car and they shot him dead as he was getting the words out of his mouth. Shot him dead. Now that's what cops have to deal with every single day of their lives. And you got these Marxist idiots running around trying to convince us that somehow the police are the problem. No, the police are the solution. And thank God for them. So at any rate, look, so we go to Chicago. I get to the courtroom for the hearing. And folks, this is what I want to get to because forgive me for some of this detail, but I really want you to get the feel of this and to hear my heart about it. I practiced law for over 15 years, probably close to about 17, 18 years, but I rounded off at 15. But I practiced law and I did a lot of courtroom work. I've never seen anything like what I saw in Chicago. I walked into that courtroom. And you know, you got to go through metal detectors before you go in, so you can't take a phone, you can't take a gun, you can't, you know, you got to empty your pockets, take off your belt, take off your jacket, everything. I mean, it's you know, pretty, it's demeaning, but it's necessary. And folks, I want you to get the picture of this, okay? And I'll describe it as best I can. I want you to get the picture. I expected to walk into a courtroom. I didn't walk into a courtroom. You know what I walked into? I walked into a room that was set up more like you going to visit somebody in prison, and there is a bulletproof, probably fiberglass in prison because nobody can bring a gun. But this was, my specialist told me this was a bulletproof wall. Now, not a partition, but a bulletproof wall between the people attending court and the judge and the lawyers and the defendants and the clerks who were actually in what I would call the courtroom. So you weren't really in the courtroom. You were sitting outside the courtroom watching through bulletproof glass as the court proceedings went on. And get this, you think, well, could you hear anything? Barely. barely. Now, they had some microphones, and much of the time you could hear the judge, not really well, but you could hear the judge. But the lawyers had to be standing in front of the microphones to be heard, and often they weren't, so you didn't hear anything. You didn't know what they were talking about. And even if they were standing in front of the microphone, sometimes then they move away from it to make a point or to emphasize something, and you didn't hear that. I mean, folks, it was a joke. The idea that our judicial system is open and available to the public because we are free people, and ultimately they answer to the American people, the sovereigns, right? We have people working in that system, but those people are ultimately answerable to us. And so it is open to the public. You can go to your local courthouse tomorrow, today, and just walk in and ask somebody, where's the criminal case is being tried. They'll point you down the hallway or somewhere. You walk into a criminal case, go ahead and sit down and watch the proceedings. Because we have freedom in this country, and our judicial system is not a secret chamber. It is an open forum. And you can't go in and disrupt the proceedings or anything like that, but you can go in and watch. And you can listen. This was not like that. You know what it made me think of? This must be what a communist country does when they want to have the facade of public observation and public access to the court system, but they don't really want you involved. Folks, I am not kidding you. I am describing exactly what happened. It was so bad that there were people who got frustrated and walked up to the glass wall and put their ear up to the glass, hoping to hear what was going on inside. Now, that's how bad it was. Now, during oral arguments, you could hear much of what was saying because the judge was admonishing the lawyers, you know, stand in front of the microphone and nobody can hear you. But that was really the exception. I guess maybe she considered it important enough that somebody might go out and report that they couldn't hear a thing. But even then, like I said, if the lawyers moved away from the microphone, you couldn't hear them. You weren't inside the room to be able to hear their voices. You had to have the microphone piping the sound into this other room. So I said it was more like going to a prison where you don't get to actually hear firsthand what the person on the other side is saying. You got to pick up a telephone because there is an impregnable wall between the two of you. That's what it was like. And by the way, the area where this was, which was not downtown Chicago proper, but they say it's an area, I was told this now, that it was an area that's been taken over by Mexican immigrants. You know what that means, right? Illegal immigrants. And there are two big prisons not far from the courthouse. I mean, literally within, I don't know, a couple blocks. And I don't mean little jailhouses. Two big prisons. Now, just get that picture in your mind. When I say big prisons, high walls, barbed wire on top of the walls. I mean, so that as you drive by, you see this. This is not hidden. You see it. And at one point, there was a prison on the left and a prison on the right. Both massive structures in the city of Chicago. And then you go into the courtroom, and it feels more like you're sitting on the outside of a star chamber, waiting for somebody to come out and tell you, here's the decision that's been rendered. And you just sit there like a bump on a log, wondering, well, what am I doing here? I can't really hear anything. I don't really know what's going on. That's what Nathan Wallace has had to put up with as his daughter has been tried. And the trial lasted 3 or 4 weeks, and finally closing arguments were had. Now, I said all that to say this. That picture that I want you to get, that's what the left wants America to be. They want America to be a system in which the elites conduct their business outside of public scrutiny and tell the American people, tell the deplorables, tell the garbage, shut up, sit down. You don't have anything to do with this. You're not intelligent enough to understand it. We will handle it. Thank you very much. And it's really none of your business. I mean, that's in effect what's conveyed. We will tell you what you want me to, what we want you to know when we want you to know it. And other than that, you're not needed. Thank you very much. It was a chilling experience, folks, because that's what they want to turn America into. They want to turn America into a society in which they run the show and we watch them as they exercise control over everything and everybody. By the way, when the closing arguments started in this particular case, they brought heavy police presence in because during the trial, apparently, there had been conflicts that broke out generated by the people who were there to support the defendants who killed this innocent girl, or at this point are alleged, charged with having killed this innocent girl, seen on video killing this innocent girl. And you had a bunch of thugs and people there who actually had the nerve to have some antipathy and anger toward the father of the innocent child because he dares show up for the trial and dares to be there to oversee the process or to observe the process, seeking justice for his 7-year-old daughter. And that's what the liberals, that's what they've unleashed on us. People who could care less because they've been coddled and they've had their heads patted and they've been told you're victims of society and it's not your fault and it's the police that are the problem. And they'll get in the courtroom and just act a fool. In fact, here's another thing that happened. One of the guys charged with the murder of this innocent girl, and folks, again, you know, you've heard me say this before. There are times when I'm speaking and I say to myself, you know, people have to think, he's got to be making this up. That couldn't have really happened. One of the defendants walks in, saunters into the courtroom. I don't know, you know, if they're charged with capital murder, which is what this is. I mean, they could get life without the possibility of parole. They're not going to get the death penalty in Illinois, obviously. But they're looking at some pretty heavy penalties if the judge does her job after finding them guilty based upon the facts and the law. He walks into the courtroom like he's coming into a sauna or is about to sit down and watch a good movie. He stretches his arms out and yawns real. I'm serious, folks. Yawns real big and takes a long stretch as if to say, you know, well, let's see. What have we got here? I'm looking at this point. Oh, Lord, help us. This is what they've come to in Chicago. And folks, that's what they want to give us in America. And thank God that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have been elected president and vice president of the United States, that conservatives have taken over the Senate and by a very slim margin taken over the House, because this mentality, this wicked, twisted mentality that the American people are the problem, and somehow we owe an apology to the criminals, the thugs, the illegal immigrants, it's all the businesses because of price increases. I mean, everybody's wrong except the people who are the beneficiaries of their state largesse and generosity with our tax dollars. The beneficiaries, the dependents that they can create, the people that they can buy, oh, they're all good. Oh, yeah, oh, yes, yes, they're all good. But the hardworking folks who get up and go to work every day taking care of their families and their children, the folks who want to get a decent education and not an indoctrination, the folks who believe that our borders ought to be secure because we're a sovereign nation, you know, the folks who are law-abiding and not out hurting other people, oh, those folks are the fools. Yeah, they're the deplorables, you see. The good people are their victims. These people have such a dystopian view of the world and life that we should be thanking God once again, folks. I embrace the metaphor that we dodged the bullet just like Donald Trump did by the grace of God. Look, and I'm sure you're hearing it now. They're gearing up for a fight over several things. One, Trump has promised mass deportations. Now, since AFR listeners are aware more than anybody else that I ran for president, I don't mind saying I was the first candidate to call for mass deportations. In fact, up until Donald Trump began to call for it, I was the only candidate to call for it. And this is my reasoning, very simply. And I'm sure Donald Trump has come to the same conclusion. First of all, you simply cannot allow to stand the tremendous damage that the Biden administration has done to our country by opening up the floodgates and allowing an invasion into America. And folks, let's face it, that's what it is. It is an invasion engineered by a bunch of drug cartel and human trafficking gangsters who could care less about humanity and could care less about America and could care only about one thing, and that is money, and will do anything to get it and keep it. And Joe Biden has facilitated their getting as much money as they possibly can on every vile thing imaginable. Now, do you all remember how the left was up in arms because Donald Trump dared to suggest that a lot of these young children coming were not necessarily the children of the adults that were accompanying them, and that they wanted to do DNA tests to make sure that they were with their parents? And, oh, you're trying to separate families, and how heartless can you be? What is wrong with these people? I mean, they don't, you know, when Donald Trump said, and this, thank God, people have finally realized he was telling the truth, not as the left said, being racist, that they're not sending us their best. They're sending us thieves and murderers and drug dealers and human traffickers and cartel members and terrorists and gang members, MS-13 and Tren de Aragua. He told the truth. But they couldn't handle the truth, you know? He told the truth. And now it's being borne out and we're seeing it. And the only way you're going to stop the floodgates is you've got to have a zero tolerance policy for illegal immigration. And you've got to say, we may not be able to catch every one of you tried to come across our borders illegally. And we're going to start catching a whole lot of them because now border agents are going to be empowered to turn these people around. So you may be able to get across, but you will never have a restful night because we will hunt you down until we find you. And when we find you, we're going to kick you out. We don't care who you are. We don't care how long it takes. We're going to kick you out. And we'll figure out something humane that we can do about these children. But look, zero tolerance means zero tolerance. Because the only people we're rewarding by allowing children to come across the border is the drug cartel, is the drug and human trafficking cartels. So no matter who you are, let's forget about all this dreamer stuff. The dreamers are the American children who need opportunity here and don't need to have to compete with illegal aliens and don't need to have every dollar they owned, they earn taxed because we've got to pay for all these benefits for people who shouldn't be here in the first place. So we got to have a zero tolerance policy for it. So we got to deport them. Mass deportation is what has to happen. Here's the other thing it will accomplish. Not only will it will restore the rule of law in the minds of the American people, as well as for people around the world who really think that America's gone so soft that you can basically get away with anything here. You can do anything. You come in here and hurt Americans, kill Americans, rape women, kill young girls, and get off. Like the guy who killed the Steinle young lady out in California. He was found innocent. I think he's still in the country. I don't think he was even deported. An illegal immigrant shot this woman, killed her. Kate Steinle. And they found him not guilty. It was an accident. Do you think if an American citizen had accidentally killed that girl that he would have been found innocent? So we've got to also, in addition to restoring the rule of law, we've got to communicate a message to people around the world. You better stop coming, because when you come, you're not going to find a welcome. No more phones, no more hotel rooms, no more food stamps, no more transportation to the city of your choice. What you're going to find is the cold law enforcement approach of stopping people who are abusing our sovereignty and our laws to encroach on our country and its people, and we're going to catch you and we're going to kick you out. We'll do it humanely. I'm not interested in abusing people or beating people up or hurting people, but you've got to go. And of course, I'm in favor of two additional policies that I hope that the Trump administration will adopt. One is, okay, we catch you the first time, we kick you out. You come back a second time, you've committed now a jailable felony. And we're going to put you in prison for a while and then kick you out. And every time you come back, you're going to do more time in prison. And I think because these are federal crimes, these people ought to go to federal prisons. They ought to have a bad experience. So they understand and go back and tell their friends, man, don't go to America. No, don't do it. Because they catch you. And then let them tell the story about putting you into a supermax prison. It's no fun and it's no joke. I'm not going back to the United States of America. And as I've said before, the other policy I'd implement is if you come to our country illegally, you are banned forever from ever becoming a citizen. In other words, you don't get a second chance. You come to the country illegally, we're going to kick you out, and you can never apply for American citizenship. Period. You can't fight in our military. You can't find some way to weasel your way in. You are done. You shut the door on yourself forever. And then, as you all know, and I'm going to ask for your support on this too, I proposed when I was running, and I'm still advocating it, a constitutional amendment that says, in effect, you are not a citizen by virtue of being born in the United States of America unless you have a biological parent, at least one biological parent, who is a citizen. If you have a biological parent that is a citizen of the United States of America, then it doesn't matter where you are born, you are a citizen. But if you don't have a biological parent who is a citizen of the United States of America, you can be born right in the heart of Manhattan, and you're not a citizen. You can be born in, what's the center country? I think, is it Kansas City? Is Kansas City right smack in the center of the country? There's one city that's right. You can be born right smack in the middle of the country. But if you're born to two biological parents who are not American citizens, you are not an American citizen. Because folks, otherwise, the whole thing is a travesty. You come to this country, you get somebody pregnant, they drop a baby in the country, and suddenly you're now the parent of an American citizen. So now you've got an argument. If you kick me out, what about my child? My child can't take care. I'm the father. Enough of this. No, we're going to kick you out, and we're going to kick your child out with you. No disrespect or harm intended for the child. God bless the child. The child is innocent. But the parents have violated our laws, and they've got to go, and the child's going with them. So if we start doing this, folks, I'm convinced of two things. Number one, they'll stop coming, certainly not in any large numbers. And number two, a lot of them are going to self-deport. A lot of them are going to say, you know what? I am not staying in America, man. It's not comfortable for me. And then there's some other things, too, we need to do. We need to start really cracking down on people who start hiring illegal immigrants when they should be hiring American citizens and, you know, making these excuses. No excuses. Period. No excuses. You hire people who are not in this country illegally, and you are going to be punished as well. You're going to suffer some sort of legal consequences. They might be civil. I don't know to what extent they should be criminal. Maybe in some cases they would be criminal. But they ought to be severe enough, either financially or in terms of putting your liberty at risk, that people say, no, not me. I'm not hiring any illegal immigrants. See, I wouldn't hire an illegal immigrant to do any work for me because it's fundamentally wrong. I would be working toward undermining my own country, which I love. Why would I do that? But of course, you got a lot of people who figure I can get an illegal immigrant for half of what I'd pay an American, so I can keep that money in my pocket. And it's worth undermining my own country and my fellow citizens' ability to be gainfully employed and all. It's worth it to make a few bucks. No, it's not worth it. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? And how about a little patriotism? How about a little sense that I owe a duty of loyalty and faithfulness to my country not to do things that I think is going to hurt it and hurt my fellow citizens? But that's, I suppose, from the less perspective, that's sort of an antiquated way of looking at it. Right? They have heightened moral sensibilities that we mere deplorables and we mere garbage, and those of us who cling to our guns and our Bibles, we can't grasp it. So, yeah, they understand. We're just not. we are not the enlightened, right? We are not, as Thomas Sowell puts it, we are not the anointed. So, Donald Trump is going to get the job done of making sure that we don't become the dystopian nightmare that leftist policies have turned Chicago into, are turning California into, and Massachusetts into, and Vermont into, and other states into. We're not going to let that happen to our country. And thank God this vote in this last election demonstrated that the American people understood what's at stake and came out and voted. Now, we've got to do it again. We've got to keep them from taking over the House in 2026. And then we've got to keep the pressure on and keep the pedal to the metal in really affecting policies that through legislation that are impossible to roll back. I mean, Donald Trump should use every executive order available, legally available to him. But we've got to pass some policies that they will not be able to come back and undo. Now, again, these leftists have said they're going to fight Donald Trump tooth and nail on immigration. Pfizer in Illinois, where I just came from, he's got his own problems. Instead of dealing with his own problems and the lack of safety for his own citizens, I mean, you're living in a state where you got to put up bulletproof glass between the people who come to observe court proceedings and the people who are working in the courthouse. Now, what is that? But he's going to defend the illegal immigrants if Donald Trump, I mean, man, get a grip. And this guy's a billionaire. How do you become a billionaire and be that dumb? But he and some others have said they're going to fight Donald Trump on this. Well, you know what? I'm ready for the fight, aren't you? We need to make sure that our senators and our congressmen, those representatives, know we expect them to fully support Donald Trump's effort. And by the way, he's planning to declare a state of emergency on the border and use the military to help round up illegal immigrants. And I completely support it. See, because look, we don't use the military against American citizens, but these are not American citizens. These are illegal aliens, and they have invaded our country. And we need to use whatever resources are available to us to round them up and kick them out. So all the sanctuary city and sanctuary state and all that stuff, Donald Trump should just ignore that. In fact, I understand he's already planning now to deny federal funding to universities, for example. It's another subject, but it's sort of a related concept. Deny federal funding to colleges and universities that do not address the issue of anti-Semitism on college campuses. In my view, what he ought to do is deny federal funding to those campuses that have really become indoctrination camps. They are no longer educational institutions, they're indoctrination institutions. And if you're going to have 95% of your professors be Marxists and leftists, you can do that. You're free to do that. But you won't do it with taxpayer dollars. You won't do it with public funding. We're not going, the American taxpayer shouldn't be paying colleges and universities to cut our throats and raise up a bunch of people who hate the country, hate God, hate Christianity, hate the rule of law, hate Jewish people, and all that. No, enough of that. Enough of that. A free country, freedom of speech. You can think any stupid thing you want to think, but you don't get to force me to finance the stupid thinking. And speaking, by the way, of the rule of law, I said we are in the era of the Great Restoration. Hallelujah. But speaking of the rule of law, you hear about this woman in Pennsylvania, this election commissioner, who has said that she is not going to pay any attention to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that declared you have to stop counting illegal ballots, and a mail-in ballot where the signature is not verified or where the ballot otherwise fails to comply with the law. I emphasize that. The law cannot be counted. And this woman has got the unmitigated gall to say, well, people don't care about what precedents say. And basically, in fact, quote, I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it. I don't even know what that means. But what she is making clear is she doesn't care what the court says. Now, that's just like the Justice Department suing Virginia to put people who self-declared themselves not citizens of the United States, trying to force the governor to put them back on the voter rolls. And thank God the Supreme Court said, what are you, nuts? Of course we're not putting non-citizens on the voter rolls. Of course you can't force the governor to do that. But what this goes to show, as I've said before, folks, when power is your God, anything goes. And these folks will do pretty much just about anything in order to get power and keep it. In this case, since Donald Trump has wrested it away from them, and we, the American people, have wrested it away from them by our vote. Now, and by the way, and now we're not hearing much about democracy anymore, are we? No, because you know what? They don't care about democracy. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about voting. They don't care about anything that undergirds freedom. They don't care about that. They care about their agenda. And when they can, talk about democracy because it will help their agenda, fine. But when it doesn't help their agenda, they could care less. Then they start talking about, we're not going to cooperate with the federal government, and we're not going to obey the court, and we're not. Oh, well, wait a minute. What about this great democracy? You're always talking about we must preserve our democracy. Democracy is on the ballot. Well, the people voted. Oh, now all of a sudden democracy is irrelevant. So, I mean, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. Well, look, folks, we've got to stay in the fight. I didn't get into Donald Trump's appointments. There are a lot of them. I think the general posture has to be to tell our senators and confirm Donald Trump's appointees. Now, again, I don't have time today to get into it, but I think you all probably know there are some pretty serious objections to Matt Gaetz on the conservative side, on the Republican side. It'll be interesting to see whether he's confirmed or not. But and I haven't gotten into that with any great enthusiasm because I don't know Matt Gaetz, and I don't know, I've heard some pretty nasty allegations, but I also know they lie on people. So I really don't know what to make of that. And some people have even suggested Donald Trump is just doing what he always does, sticking it in their eye, and then ultimately he'll choose somebody else. I can tell you that when I was running, I said my first choice for attorney general would have been Matt Staver, president of Liberty Counsel. But Matt Staver, Mike Ferris, it'll come to me. But there are a couple of others. Kelly Shackelford is who I was thinking of. Kelly Shackelford. I mean, people like that would make tremendous attorney generals. Why not choose one of them? If in fact Matt Gaetz proves that not to be confirmable, but I would love it because we need somebody. Not only who is going to end the use of lawfare against their political enemies, somebody's going to put a stop to that, but we need somebody who is going to make it their primary purpose to defend the First and Second Amendment liberties of the American people. I had somebody approach me not too long ago. They're bringing a person who's gender confused into the workplace, who started as one gender and now moved to another. And some of the Christians on the job are saying, what am I supposed to do with this? And how am I supposed to respond? And of course, the job is scared out. They're scared out of their wits because Gorsuch said that under the 1964 Civil Rights Act, sex means gender identity. Horrible decision by Gorsuch. That decision will go down in infamy to his everlasting shame. And I mean, he's done some good things, no question on the court, but that's a big, bad thing he did there. But companies are afraid. We need an attorney general who is going to go after that and defend the First and Second Amendment liberties of the American people and say, okay, under the Civil Rights Act, you can't discriminate against this particular individual who has now announced themselves to be of a different gender than they were hired at. But you also can't discriminate against that employee who says, because of my sincere religiously held beliefs, I do not believe I need to call this person by some pronoun that they've designated. If they still have the last name, why can't I just call them by their last name? Oh, no, you're misgendering. No, I'm not. If their name was Johnson before and they changed it from Paul to Peggy, why don't I just call them Johnson? Why do I have to bow down to this notion? Well, it's no longer a man, it's now a woman. Or it's no longer a woman, it's now a man, which is impossible. It's a lie. It can't happen. I don't care what they do to them. You can't change your gender. So I trust that President Trump will get the overwhelming number of these appointees confirmed and will get on to the business of governing this great nation and continuing the great restoration. You know, I don't hashtag that. The great restoration. Listen, God bless everybody. I've got to go. Thank God for you. Pray for us here at American Family Radio, the Wildmans, all the staff people, all the hosts. Pray for us that we will continue to do the will of God and to glorify God in the doing of it. and continue to contribute to preserving our great constitutional republic. God bless each and every one of you. And even though there's been now a great electoral victory, the admonition remains the same, because we still have got a major spiritual battle that looms, and we've got to win it in order to ultimately, completely, victoriously save this country from its own inner decay. So we've got to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. This last election proved it, because we are on God's side. God bless you.